You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning, and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call, text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A couple changes to the show notes for today. We had planned to talk to Will Westmoreland, who is a farmer from southwestern Missouri. He has joined us on the show numerous times before. He is traveling, and he is stuck in D.C.,
Stuck in D.C.
So we have rescheduled. Will will be joining us next Tuesday to talk about farmers and tariffs and waiting for that big, beautiful rescue package after the tariffs that seem kind of self-inflicted wounds. But yeah. Yes, Will Westmoreland will be joining us next week. Coming up today, it is Friday, so Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. We're going to talk about red light cameras in Milwaukee. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. Also, Josh Call, Attorney General Josh Call, announcing he is not going to run for governor.
Yeah.
And also the ICE raids in Chicago. And I know there's one in particular that Dan wants to talk about that we have addressed very briefly.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great conversation. So stick around for Dan. Coming up in hour number two, last half hour of the show, as we always do, we try and lighten things up with audio sorbet. Thank you, Calvin. Where we take a breath, get away from the news, and talk about unimportant things.
Excuse me.
Or gripes. Or just, it's kind of an all-encompassing, let's talk about this.
Audio gripe, also known as, let's change the subject.
Today's audio sorbet, what job could you never do?
Yep.
And it might not, you know, police officer, I think that, I know I couldn't do that job. Yeah. But I think that there are lots of other jobs, when we think about them, it's like, I know I couldn't do
that. No. And not even know, like, and I want to, it's not just a, I couldn't do it because of maybe physicality or because of education. One where you say that I have no interest. I couldn't do it because I don't care enough.
Well, and I wouldn't be good at it.
Yeah.
So that's coming up for audio sorbet. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Flying High Edition. Stay tuned for that. It should be a lot of fun. Of course, we are going to game five.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about it a lot. I just think it's important to mention that.
You've mentioned it.
Okay. See, here's my theory.
Oh, God. Here comes Jane with in-depth sports theories.
Yes. They want to prove to Major League Baseball that they can pull in numbers. And so they're giving them a game five to say, sure, we're a small market, but we can still draw ratings. Take that. Major League Baseball. That's my theory. I'm going with it.
I'm sorry.
You didn't have to like it.
What you were talking about, I blacked out there for a second.
Okay. Game five tomorrow in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee.
6:30 broadcast starts. Our broadcast starts at 6:30 tomorrow. The first pitch goes out tomorrow night at 7:08. As always, you cannot listen on the live stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio.
Can't listen on the app either.
Can't listen on the app. That's also streaming. Yeah. Yep. So you have to listen on terrestrial radio. Catch it in Richland Center on WRCE, in Hayward on WBZH, in Park Falls, WCQM, here in Racine and Kenosha. Tomorrow, our broadcast starts 6:30 on WRJN. Again, in Racine and Kenosha. Go crew. Wanted to start off with this. And I think it's important we just put things in a little bit of context because we tend to forget.
Yeah.
I forget what we had for dinner last night. So back in February of this year, February 17th, that's when the Trump administration started firing hundreds of FAA employees.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of them.
Yes.
This kind of created some problems that first weekend. But the impacted workers, included people hired to monitor radar, landing, navigational maintenance. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy at that point said fewer than 400 FAA employees were fired, zero air traffic controllers, and critical safety personnel were let go. However, officials tell the AP the agency did keep employees who perform critical safety functions, but they're looking at whether some of these people were really necessary.
Now, I know that when we talk about government employees and we talk about the concepts of bloat or fraud, wasteful spending or whatever, there are a lot of conversations that can be apt to this topic. And I usually think more of like the department type of stuff that's like in D.C. when you're talking about like, oh, you know, the FBI or the Department of Defense or like all these three letter departments. I understand where people have their gripes about, well, what are they even doing?
Right. What are all those pencil pushers?
But when it comes to the FAA, anybody who works for the FAA at the actual airport, I feel like they're there for a very specific reason, and we shouldn't look at those locations. Like the FAA department in D.C., okay, if there's an undersecretary to the assistant of the undersecretary, let's look at that. But when we're talking about the jobs that you just named off, I don't feel like they should come into question because they all feel important.
Yeah, maintenance is kind of, you know, one of those things when you're flying maintenance, you want to check on that stuff. So here's the article from yesterday. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea with the byline. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy now says air traffic controllers could be fired for not showing up during the government shutdown. He said they will not get paid and could be fired. Duffy said in an interview on Faux News he's seen an uptick in air traffic controllers calling in sick since the government shutdown October 1st, and that's why he's blaming flight disruptions. There were like 4,600 flights that got delayed yesterday. And then the ripple effect from that is huge.
It's really only going to get worse, and we were talking about this earlier before we got on the air, and this could be one of the things that really push it for a lot of people because President Trump has been in office since the 21st of January, so we're talking about a little over eight months and some change. We're going into the ninth month here, and there have been firings. There have been things happening. There has been the blob of the bill, but not a lot of, like, tangible common things happening. I'm going a long way to make this point. Being stuck at the airport because of the shutdown and because of these cuts from DOGE is something that everyone, regardless of party, is experiencing. And they may see they're going, why is this happening? Well, it's because of the shutdown. It's because of DOGE. It's because of these things. And air traffic controllers calling in sick, I don't know if it's so much a protest, but that's a way of guaranteeing pay because they get sick pay. And the president this week said, oh, I'm not even sure we're going to give them their back pay.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, that is unheard of. That is going to be directly in the courts.
Sean Duffy, Wisconsinite.
Ruler of roads.
Ruler of roads. Sean Duffy said, quote, listen, we need more controllers, but we need the best and the brightest of dedicated controllers. If we have some on our staff that aren't dedicated like we need, we're going to let them go. I can't have people not showing up for work, unquote. By the way, Duffster decided to go to an air traffic control tower live, broadcasting, and interrupted an air traffic controller to ask him questions.
Yep, and the air traffic controller was real honest. I got a mortgage. I have a wife who doesn't work. I have kids. I can't lose my job. I can't not get paid. And Sean Duffy is doing his best. And I will find the clip. The clip is from the Daily Show. Josh Johnson hosted this week and they played it. But the guy who's doing his job.
The air traffic controller, yes.
Is being very honest. And Sean Duffy is doing his best to be one, empathetic. I don't think that's something he's capable of, but also trying to steer the narrative of this shutdown is making it hard for everyone, but it's not my fault. This is, like, listen to this guy tell his story. that's the shutdown's terrible. Guess what, bud? Your party's in charge of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Before the shutdown, Sean Duffy said air traffic controller shortages were responsible for about 5% of flight delays. Right now, the shortage is responsible for 53% of the delays. And I guess one of my things is Sean Duffy still going to keep getting paid, isn't he?
Yes, he will.
As transportation secretary?
He will continue to get paid.
He'll keep getting paid.
All of those congressmen and senators, regardless of party, will continue to get paid. It's really a great deal for them. And
no kidding.
And every time we've had a shutdown, it's the same thing people say is, take away their pay.
Right.
See how long the government stays closed.
Right.
Yeah.
I would think that is something we could all agree on.
Mm-hmm. You would think. Yes, I would.
Right? Our elected officials, if they're going to do a government shutdown and the government workers don't get paid, they are still government workers. Our elected officials are government workers, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So they shouldn't get paid.
No.
And then, I don't know, do we pay him back pay? Well, we'll have to wait and see. I think the people should get to vote on that.
I think that, I mean, the president himself, we played the clip of him saying, if a shutdown happens, the guy up top should be
fired.
Yeah.
It's the president's fault if there's a shutdown. Our current president said that.
Yes.
Out loud.
In 2013.
It's on tape.
And this is his third shutdown.
Yeah. Third shutdown.
I guess the question I have is, I don't know. I keep on asking the question, but I don't really know what the breaking point is. I being stuck at the airport with thousands of other people because of slow movement, because of lack of staff, because of a shutdown, because of Doge cuts, I feel like that is a real-time example in front of your face to at the very least say,
What's going on here?
Like, who is in charge here?
And by the way, speaking of Doge,
yeah,
Wall Street Journal just came out with a report that said that despite Doge's actions, government spending is actually up.
Ha!
Elon boasted that he was going to save $2 trillion at the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. Wall Street Journal says, yeah, that hasn't happened. That's not even close, according to the Wall Street Journal. Doge did claw back some grants and fired some probationary workers, but that has not changed the big picture so far. Total spending, excluding interest, rose $220 billion or 4% for the entire fiscal year.
And let's remember, too, the way they saved money, quote, saved money, was getting rid of social programs, grants. That's their version of saving money.
Well, and then firing all these people and then realizing, oh, my God, he had the keys to everything.
Yeah.
Let's hire him back.
Yep.
It's so fiscally responsible. Coming up, are you expecting a package from UPS?
Not right now.
You might be waiting longer than you expected. All the details on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Join Todd Alba later on today, 2 to 4 across the network. He is going to talk to the public address announcer of the Badgers, Mike Mankey, at 2:35. He's been announcing games for a long time at Camp Randall.
I'm going to try it real quick here. The Madison Badgers. Football. Did I do it right? How did I do?
You're big. You could be a big voice guy.
I have voice of bigness. Football.
In the 3 o'clock hour, Todd is going to have a VIP ticket giveaway for the world premiere of the movie No Packers, No Life.
I really want to see this movie.
It's the story of dedicated Japanese Packer fans who fulfill their dream of experiencing Lambeau Field. They're going to premiere it at the Majestic in Waukesha.
Just, I'm going to lie, that makes me emotional. Because the thing about the Packers is that their fandom is worldwide and
absolutely
die hard.
Absolutely.
And people worship them. And that's one of the things I really love about that team. So I know I'm going to be sitting there going, I'm just sitting here to watch a freaking movie. When is that premiere happening?
The premiere is next week in Waukesha at the Majestic Theater, and you have a chance to pick up some VIP tickets for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. So join Todd today in the 3 o'clock hour and get a chance to pick up those tickets.
I cannot. But no, I'd love to go to that. Oh my God. I just hold Todd's hand and be like, it's so inspiring.
It's probably going to be, hopefully it'll have a long life in the theaters and get on stream and then we can all enjoy it.
Win all the awards.
All right. Before we get to, if you're waiting for a package from UPS, you could be waiting a while. But Gene from Eau Claire is waiting patiently on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us. What's up?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'll tell you something. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, Gene, are you upset? Just are you fired up? Are you perturbed?
Oh, am I perturbed? You're lucky that I'm not out on the street. I'd be out there protesting with the biggest sign you ever had, and I wouldn't leave, and they'd have to take me out on whatever. But I'll tell you something. I am watching What the Devil's Going On Here, and I'm watching live, you know, these brutal attacks, animalistic behavior. These people, if Pavlov's hierarchy of needs and people's, you know, the way they live their lives, these people would be on the bottom. They'd be like the crocodiles and alligators and eating everything or killing everything in their sight. Somebody said that to me once. He's trying to kill off Americans. No, he's not. I couldn't believe that one. Well, now I believe it.
Yeah.
The stuff that this man is allowed to do, but it's not just him. It's those people around him. It's the wealthiest people in America, the people, idiots, that he put in those different areas that we need good people. And they're idiots, and they don't care. And the sad thing is I'm watching that little guy behind the glasses looking so Christian, and I'm getting mad about it because I'm a Christian and I don't wear it on my sleeve, hurting the churches, telling lies like they're spewing out all over the place. And people are believing it. And in the meantime, every single American is hurting, worried, concerned, and these yahoos aren't doing God's darn thing about it. And in fact, they turn their nose and they go back and sit in their offices and they're going to make everybody suffer. So the best thing we can do is get God's darn good candidates, because every God's darn one of them need to go. And Tiffany, he was involved in what happened in Wisconsin, didn't fix the roads, didn't work on anything, sent money to their big wealthy donation people, and then Tony Evers had to come and fix it. So wake up, folks. Mm-hmm. You guys need to get active. Check out these people who are running and get rid of these son of a guns, because they don't give one iota about anybody in this state or in this country. And we got to save the children's future. So I'm done. I'm sorry. I've been watching this stuff live and I can't believe it.
We appreciate it, Gene. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Gene's very passionate. Mm-hmm. She's very involved.
If you're like Gene Jane. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
Sure.
If you're like Gene Jane, that time I did, and you are feeling as fired up as Gene is, and you want to do something about it, where can one go to maybe, say, voice your opinion on the matter?
You could go to My Vote.
I have a banner on the live stream created for such a place.
MyVote.wi.gov. All you have to do is type in your address.
Yes.
And every elected official who represents you from the very smallest all the way to the top will give you their contact information. They work for us.
They work for us.
You can call them.
You can call them. Be respectful. Call them anytime. Leave messages. Be respectful. But also, if they don't know how we are feeling, if we are not contacting them,
They think what they're doing is fine.
Exactly.
They do.
So let your voice be heard. We still have a voice. Myvote.wi.gov. It's a great resource besides the contact information. Yes. But yeah. But thank you, Jeannie, very much. And as I just want to repeat really quick something that Jeannie said recently that I didn't know. She's also an independent.
Right.
She's an independent. She's not a loony, lefty, liberal, crunchy, hippie. Sorry, crunchy hippies. But yeah, she is an independent. And this is firing the independents up hard.
Myvote.wi.gov. Make some phone calls.
Yeah.
Drop a line.
Write a letter.
Let them know you're thinking about them. Yeah. News is coming up next. We will tell you about the UPS story because I do want to share this with you if you're waiting for a package.
I want us to try to do this for the rest of the show, and it just never happens.
We'll never get to the point. That's all on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up about an hour from now is a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we like to get away from the news. Talk about things that are a little more lighthearted so we don't all crack up and lose our minds. Today, the topic for Audio Sorbet, what job could you not do?
And it's not just physical or mental. It's just like, no.
Would not be good at this.
I couldn't do that job.
I would not be good at this job.
Yeah.
What job could you not do? And you can text in your answer now if you're not going to be around next hour at 855-752-4842. Talking about jobs and the jobs you just could not do.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up about an hour from now. As promised, we wanted to talk about this. UPS, this from NBC News. UPS is disposing of U.S.-bound packages over customs paperwork problems.
Is this a Trump thing?
Thousands of U.S.-bound packages shipped by UPS are now trapped at hubs across the country, stuck there because of the maze of new customs requirements imposed by the Trump administration.
There it is.
As packages, flags for custom issues pile up in UPS warehouses, the company, UPS, told NBC it has begun disposing of some shipments. There is such a backlog.
Yeah.
Of packages.
Yeah.
That now they're just getting rid of some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Wasserbach, who is brokerage manager of Express Customs Clearance, said of the UPS backlog, "I have never seen anything like this before. It's completely unprecedented."
Let me, while you're talking, like, because a couple months ago, we covered a story where it was some companies outside the U.S. are just no longer even shipping here because of all of the convoluted things they have to go through to get a package through customs. They're just like, no, sorry, we're not shipping to America anymore. Sorry, get it somewhere else. I mean, this is what I was talking about with regard to the airline industry. These are real, tangible examples of how these policies are first just inept and then harm us. And harm, I'm using in the term of like a legal term, not like hurt me, I'm bruised, battered, but put a dent in my wallet, make an inconvenience. I buy something from somewhere. I expect that thing to be at my doorstep at a given time. If it can't get through because of customs and they then throw it out, they're not even shipping it back.
No.
Then,
or telling you that it got destroyed.
These are real life consequences of these stupid policies.
And these policies affect not just red, not just blue.
Yes.
But independents too.
Oh, clip that. Please. That's Calvin for real. That was content. That's, we're going to make
but
a song.
But it affects all of us. It does.
Absolutely.
NBC News reporting that more than two dozen people, they heard from more than two dozen people who are waiting for their packages from UPS. They talked about shipments of tea, telescopes, luxury glassware, musical instruments, worth tens of thousands of dollars in limbo, or they might just be gone. They might just be gone. Ashley Freeberg is missing several boxes she shipped via UPS from England in September. These were journals, records, books, lots of personal keepsakes.
Mm-hmm.
She said over the next 2 weeks, she got two separate notifications from UPS that her personal mementos had not cleared customs. And as a result, she heard about it. They disposed of them. October 1st, a UPS tracking update appeared for her packages saying they were on the way.
Oh, God.
And she got updates that she showed NBC that the shipments revealed it was the most recent update she had gotten, but they're gone. The stuff is gone.
There's no replacing those things.
Personal mementos
like
that.
Do you get your money back? Like, what is the recourse? What is the redress on these situations for an individual who's just, you know, doing what a lot of people have been doing for decades, which is shipping things from one place to the other?
A Boston man said he shipped a package from Japan via UPS. After it sat in Louisville for about 2 weeks, he got a tracking update saying, quote, "We're sorry your package did not clear customs and has been removed from the UPS network. Per customs guidelines, it has been destroyed. Contact the sender for more information."
And just to give clarification to what I was talking about with regard to the earlier story we covered on the country is not shipping to the U.S. because of what's called it's an easier process because of something called the de minimis trade agreement, which President Trump has allowed to sunset. It would allow packages that were worth less than $800 to enter the U.S. duty free. And it's going to, that agreement is going to sunset. Because of that, 25 UN member nations are no longer going to ship because it doesn't make sense for them to do it.
It's too much hassle.
So you cannot buy from them if you live here. Like, these are real consequences. And again, the question I have, Jane, what is your breaking point? Mine was a while ago. Mine was the day after the election. That was my breaking point. But what is it going to take for one of you listeners who love Donald Trump? Again, don't tell me you don't like him. That's fine. I don't care about your feelings towards him. I'm saying, what is going to be your breaking point to your pocketbook, to your convenience, to your life that will make you at the very least just say, okay, what? That's where I want. That's the level for me. It's just, okay, what?
2 years of pain.
Yeah.
That's what Elon said, 2 years of pain.
Luckily, billionaires can endure lots of pain.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
UPS says it is doing its best to get all packages to their destinations while following the new customs requirements. Quote, "Because of changes to U.S. import regulations, we're seeing many packages unable to clear customs because of missing or incomplete information." UPS said it does try several times to get missing information so they can clear those. Contacting shippers three times, but ultimately, if they can't get that information, they're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are waiting for a package from UPS, it could be waiting a while.
I mean, and that's we talked to Lisa Schiller last week about scams, and one of the things that we are going to be talking about more is holiday scams. And the reason why I bring this up is because, with these problems with shipping, I have a feeling I don't want to project it into the universe. You could see people coming out saying, having shipping problems? Talk to us.
We have a way to go around it.
Because if UPS is disposing of packages and you're out of money and they're a legit billion-dollar corporation, I have no doubt there's some guy in East Brunswick, New Jersey, who's like, I'll start Steve's shipping company taking people's money. So that's something
That's a good point.
Just be aware.
Be aware.
Yeah.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join us. Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. What'd you want to say about this?
Well, I was sitting here pulling my hair out. Greg touched on it a little bit, but I was already blowing off steam trying to figure out how are you going to get your money back.
Yeah.
Most people who have ordered and are waiting have had to pay on, you know, put it on their credit card whatever, PayPal or whatever, how are they going to get their money back? And if there isn't someone that you can set up that could maybe find that out and talk to us like your Better Business lady.
Well, we'll see what else we can what else we can learn about this, Ollie. Absolutely.
I mean, your first call is going to be UPS. And the thing is, and I know I'm not one to sit here and sympathize with corporations, but they just want to do their job. They want to create, they want to give an experience to a customer that is satisfactory so they keep using it and so you don't go to their competitors, as there are a lot of competitors now. So it's in their best interest to get this resolved and give you all the information you need. I wouldn't be even surprised if there's a special website now on their page saying, hey, did you ship? And the thing, sorry, here you, and give you the information, because it's really, I mean, the airline story that you brought up, and that these are just real world examples of things that affect regular folk like me and you, people who work for a living. We're not billionaires. I'm not even a million. I'm barely a thousandaire at this point. Right. I own a house. I'm in debt. But there comes a breaking point. I mean, that was the chief complaint last year during the election from a lot of
individuals. It was prices.
It was, I gotta make decisions. Is it rent? Is it clothes? Is it food? Is it my kid's school? We're seeing the impact of decisions being made. And now all these individuals who last year were saying, but what about the price of eggs, are silent. Are you fine now, or are you just taking it on the teeth because you have to?
Well, they're being good Americans and they're going to suffer those 2 years of pain because that's what they were.
Apparently a sucky American.
Promised. Switching gears just a little bit. There was a panel discussion at last week's World Dairy Expo.
Oh, yes.
And this is an opinion piece, commentary piece from Ruth Conniff in the Wisconsin Examiner. And Wisconsin's own Derek Van Orden spoke.
You trying to get my blood pressure up?
To the farmers. He assured them that the Trump administration has farmers' backs. He said, Elon Musk, I spoke to Elon Musk. I was like, hey, Elon, there's two groups of people in the U.S. we need to watch out for. One of them are service members and the other are farmers. So he really zoned in on that and grasped it. And DVO also said another incredibly strong proponent of the dairy industry is Tom Homan, the border czar, the architect of the family separation policy during the first Trump administration.
The guy who's $50,000 richer because he took a bag full of money.
Derek Van Orden asked the dairy farmers to support his proposal for a new system to make the workforce legal. It would impose a fine on employers and dairy workers and require those workers to self-deport before coming back under a new program that would allow them to do their jobs legally. The farmers had a lot of questions. What is the workers' incentive to take part in this? How long would it take the government to process this paperwork, get them out of the country, and then send them back? How do they know they won't get deported as soon as they come back? He didn't answer any of those questions. I know that's shocking.
You know me and my history with this man. It's a very one-sided battle. I know that. And I used to try to pick fights with him because I just wanted to see him get angry at me. But the more we talk about this man, he is just an example of a human being who is so bad at his job, but yet he gets to do things like this, and people are like, and says in the article, they're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. What's happening?
Going to have to give a lot more benefits going forward. When we return, I want a Nobel Prize, and I want it now.
Okay, I'll get one.
It's like What's-Her-Face from Willy Wonka, the purple girl.
Did you just say William Wonka?
To him, too. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is burbling all over the place. Donald Trump did not get the Nobel Peace Prize today. This from the Daily Beast. Despite his desperate lobbying campaign, for the honor appears he craves more than anything else. Calvin, we're going live right now for a comment from the White House. Can you play that clip, please?
Oh. No, I want one of those.
Bunker, how much do you want for the Golden Goose?
They're not for sale.
Name the price.
She can't have one.
Who says I can't?
The man with a funny hat.
I want one. I want a Golden Goose. Gooses.
There it is.
That's, there you go. I want it.
I want it now.
And I want it now.
Why can't I have it right now, Jane?
For one thing, the nomination process for all of the Nobel Prizes is an 8-month-long screening and decision-making process.
And there's something in the process. This is an official term they use. They have a deadline.
They do.
They have a deadline.
They do have a deadline.
They have a deadline.
Yep. And he'll very likely be nominated next year.
And for the record, this has happened to presidents before. If this goes through, the peace deal between Israel and Gaza, the nomination will make sense. I understand the reason for the nomination. If it holds, if it sticks, everyone does their thing. But the incapability of grasping the fact that the nominations were due January 31st of this year for what came out this week, and he was in office for 10 days, just let it go.
Well, no.
And let 2026 be your year. Like, just
no, he wants it now. He wants it now, Greg. On Faux News this morning, Maria Bartiromo.
Oh, my God.
Talking to Steve Scalise, Republican lawmaker. Right. Maria said, on your point about the Nobel Peace Prize, do you think maybe the reason Trump won't get it is because you had to get the application in before January 31st? That was only a few days into his term. Steve Scalise said, oh, sure, they can play technicalities. That's the deadline.
And again, I apologize for not having this clip ready because it's a fascinating conversation between Maria Bartiromo, who's just always fun to listen to you, listen to her talk at your face, and Steve Scalise, because first she starts with, well, I don't understand why he got it. And then she brings up a perfectly reasonable answer, a point, which is
there was a deadline.
There was a deadline. Yeah. They missed it. Fine. Next year.
Yeah.
Get your paperwork ready.
Yeah.
Get going. I know you all will do it. Then Steve Scalise says that, oh, a technicality. Then she says, yeah, you're right. Like, she just falls apart right there.
Well, of course she
did. Realizes she just did the main problem when you're on Fox News, which is you presented logic and reason in an argument, and the moment she... It's like when Stephen Miller started talking about plenary... plenary authority. He just shut down, short circuited, and went into buffer mode because she's like, oh, I can't. Oh, I gave a reason why he can't get something. You're right. Technicalities.
A reporter asked one of the members of the Nobel Committee about this. U.S. President Donald Trump has repeatedly said he'd like to have the Nobel Peace Prize and he deserves it. He said it would be an insult to the U.S. if he doesn't get it. What do you think of this? The chair of the Nobel Committee responded essentially by saying campaigning for it and media attention does not work. He also said the Nobel Committee bases their decision on, quote, courage and integrity, unquote.
Ouch. This isn't the Emmys. This isn't the Oscars. You don't hire people to campaign.
To lobby for you.
But also, and while that's a wonderful statement and that last little stinger of salt in the wound, but I will say, I will give you one other alternate answer to that question that they asked about his Donald Trump wanting it. If he just would have said, Donald who?
Oh! Ouch.
Oh!
By the way, the Nobel Committee gave this year's Nobel Peace Prize to Maria Corina Machado. She is a Venezuelan opposition leader described as a brave and committed champion of peace. She's receiving the Nobel Peace Prize for her tireless work promoting democratic rights for the people of Venezuela and for her struggle to achieve a just and peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy. I don't know. We have a weekend coming up. Maybe we could all do some art projects with our kids and make little Nobel Prize, little medals for him.
I'll give $10 if you can put Jeffrey Epstein on the prize.
Oh, but with them side by side?
I'm just saying, let's begin the countdown clock to when Donald Trump publicly insults this woman.
He hasn't yet?
I don't think
he has. He's probably still sleeping.
I don't think he has. Then he has to have breakfast, and that'll be...
He doesn't really start work till noonish.
Three Big Macs, that'll take him about 10 minutes. Yeah, wait, I want to see what he has to say about this woman, how he's going to somehow insult her, yet think he's giving her a compliment. If she, maybe she could give it to me or share it with me or mention me at her speech. Well,
maybe she'll just give it to me because someone actually gave him a Purple Heart.
For bone spurs incurred during battle?
Because he's such a wonderful hero.
He's correct? Got plumpy muscles, and he muscles all over America with his plumpy.
He's got very plumpy ankles. That's, we know for that. For
hey,
sure.
Cankles are nothing to make fun of.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to do some recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, creator of the Recombobulation Area. He is also Civic Media's political editor. We're going to talk about Josh Call not jumping into the gubernatorial race, red light cameras in Milwaukee, and much, much more. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.